This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 81, Multiple Exposure Photography. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 81st Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and this time we're coming to you from Kona in Big Island, Hawaii. Yep, I got a very generous uncle with a timeshare, and he let some of our extended family come on a family vacation, and my wife and I took an extra week, and we are now in Big Island. It is gorgeous here. I'm sitting, it's like 6:30 a.m., I'm looking at the Pacific Ocean. I got crazy looking birds. Maybe you can hear them. I got waves pounding. It's just gorgeous. The lava rock here is unbelievable. It pervades the whole island. And if you're lucky enough to ever get out here, bring a pile of money because it's way more expensive than I ever imagined. But the beauty here is unparalleled. And oh, I shouldn't say unparalleled. There are many beautiful places in the world, but this place is friggin' gorgeous. It rivals the most beautiful places in the world for sure. I'm feeling really lucky this morning. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you all about multiple exposure. So I've been playing with in-camera multiple exposure lately in particular, but I'm going to talk about multiple exposure in general. Before we start, I usually like to thank people for their comments on our previous podcast, and I'm on vacation now, so, you know, I didn't get to do all the work. But in the show notes, once I put this up, in the show notes, I'm gonna thank people for their comments. So please continue to comment. It's greatly appreciated. Anyway, so I've been playing with in-camera multiple exposures lately. I'm really enjoying it. This is something that I used to do in the mid-90s with my Nikon FM2. And basically, it just involves shooting more than one scene on a single frame of film. And I'm going to talk about this for old school cameras and digital cameras, and I'm going to talk about it for Photoshop as well. So I'm going to give you tips on how to do this. But for me personally, I must say that I am enjoying the unpredictability of doing this in camera. I'm now doing it with my digital camera, but I'm still enjoying the unpredictability. I mean, back in the day, I used to do a lot of darkroom printing, and there's something unpredictable about darkroom printing as well. You know, you see the image forming in a bath of liquid developer, and there's something serendipitous, unpredictable about it. And we're absolutely missing this from digital photography, which of course has many, 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 many pros. But, you know, the predictability factor or the serendipity factor is dead with digital. And I'm finding it again by doing this in-camera multiple exposures. So I thought I would share this with you. So basically, there are a lot of ways to do this, and there is a lot of play involved in doing this, and you can have so much fun. I shot with a model named Isabel, and I took some multiple exposures of her face, and it was really, really cool. So basically, for this setup, I shot the same subject in different ways. So basically, I used my Nikon D700, and I'll talk about how I did it at the end. But so I shot her face. I shot the right side of her face, and then I shot the left side of her face, all on one frame of film. And obviously, you'll have to go to the site to see the photo, but it has a really, really, really interesting effect. It's cool. It's bloody cool. And I had a lot of fun with it, and I put up a couple images, and I'll put some links, etc. So I stood in front of her, and I tried to line up the camera as best I could to take both shots. And this is where the difficulty is going to be. Anyone can take multiple exposures, and you'll have some kind of cool effect just because it's not what you're used to seeing. But there are better multiply exposed images and some that aren't so good. And you'll find this when you play, that you may shoot, I don't know, 20 or 30 shots, and maybe only two or three are going to be worthy. And of course, the more planning you do, the better it's going to be. I'll talk about planning in a little bit as well. But again, so for this Isabel shot, I just shot her in different ways. You know, I shot her one shot horizontally, one shot vertically. I tried to get her eyes lined up so that she has multiple eyes. And Isabel is an actress, actually, and I had her portray some emotions. So some of the shots that I did take are going to be not happy-go-lucky shots, because I was asking her to portray more solemn emotions, sadness, despair, things like that, introspection. And she did a great job, so thanks, Isabel. It was really, really cool, and the effects are really interesting. So, again, this was the same subject shot multiple times. And a good way to play with this, if you want to shoot the same subject, and I chose Isabel, and of course you can choose flowers, rocks, whatever you want. The subject matter is up to you. But if you shoot the same subject, from different locations, you're going to have an interesting shot. And a good way to play, especially at the beginning, is just put your camera on a tripod. And that way you could rotate the camera from on the tripod, and the plane of focus is going to be similar, though slightly off, from left to right, or right to left, or up to down. And that's going to be really, really interesting. And you could play that way and have a good time. And another quick and easy way to play is to use your zoom lens. So let's say, again, you were shooting a flower or a plant. So you would shoot, let's say you had, 70 to 200 zoom. And let's say your first shot, you would shoot that at 70. And then the next shot, you would shoot that at 200. Well, you're going to have quite an interesting effect at the end of it. And again, you just have to play. You have to take my word for it and play. And I think some of you, if you do take my advice and play, I think you might get hooked, because this is a really fun, somewhat artsy-fartsy technique, and there are lots of masters of it, and I'm going to throw out some names at the end of people you should look at. It's just fun, and it brings the serendipity back into photography. At least it does for me when you're doing it in camera. Another really easy way to do it is just to shoot different scenes as well. So about a week ago, I was in Honolulu on Oahu, and there's lots of homeless people in Oahu, and I wanted to show, homelessness in paradise. Now, what I thought was really cool, we did a tour of Honolulu our first day there, or our second day there, rather, and our Hawaiian guide, he told us that, people are allowed to just tent or sleep on the beach, that the beach belongs to everyone. And I thought that was wonderful, because we have big problems with homelessness in our cities, and we just kick them out wherever they go. It's just terrible. But I thought it was wonderful that it is legal that homeless people just have the right to camp where they want to camp, and it kind of solves where they're going to sleep. It's not cold here, so although no one wants to be homeless, it's nice not to get hassled. Of course, while I was here, I was hearing on the news that now they're trying to pass laws that disallow homeless people from camping in certain areas, and I think that's terrible. But anyway, while I was here, I thought it was a great idea. So anyway, there are quite a lot of homeless people, and I do jog, and I was jogging along the coast of the ocean one morning, and then I noticed homeless people, and then the next morning I go out to take some multiple exposures. And so for this, and basically, long story short, is I took, homeless people sleeping on the grass or under trees, and then I put them in the sky under palm trees, kind of, to make some type of statement. I don't know if it's strong or what have you. It was really, I just wanted to do it, and I was preparing for this podcast as well. I thought it would be an interesting subject. But of course, you could do anything you want. You could easily take a portrait, and this is something I used to do in the early 90s. I did this quite often. I would just take a portrait of people, and then, against a more neutral background, and then I would just shoot the second frame of a tree or a rock. And that way you have a face in the rock, face in a tree, etc., etc. You could take a plant in the ocean. Really, it's endless. It's absolutely endless. And you can really have a lot of fun. I would suggest that at the beginning, using two exposures are going to be better than using three or four or five or six or seven. Of course, you could do as many as you want, as many as your camera can handle. But for planning purposes and learning purposes, two or three to start is going to be really, really easy. At the end of the day, if it's too busy, it's too confusing, if too many things are going on in your scene, it may just look like mush. But if you do it well, if you practice, and you shoot, 100, especially if you're on a digital camera these days, it's nothing to experiment and play. Take some notes, learn from your mistakes, and then the next time you go out and do it, you're going to have a much better time. Again, I've been playing with this for a few weeks, and I've forgotten what fun it is, and it also requires really, really planning. So, if you have an idea of what you want in your head, you will have a better time of achieving that. Let's say you did want a portrait of a person on a rock, and you think about the placement. The placement is going to be so key. So, you're going to have an easier time if you're shooting, frame A of the person, let's say against a more neutral background, and then B, you just fill the frame with a tree, that's going to be much easier than taking them in the middle of the forest where branches might be going through their head. You know what I mean? I hope I'm making sense there. But planning is going to be key, and playing is going to be part of the key, and serendipity is always going to be your friend if you do it in camera. Now, in terms of techniques for this, I'm just going to talk about old school first, and then I'm going to talk about digital, and then I'm going to talk about how to do it in Photoshop really, really, really quickly. It's just going to be an introductory to multiple exposure podcast, basically to get you pumped and inspired, and I hope I'm able to do it. So if you're using it old school, because some digital cameras, you can't do it on some digital cameras, which kind of sucks. You'll spend a lot of money and your camera won't be able to do it. Mine can, yahoo, but not all can. The Canon digital camera that I had before this was not able to do it, and it kind of sucked, but what are you going to do? Anyway, so if you do have an old film camera lying around, or you want to purchase one just for this, you can pick up old film cameras, like, almost for free, you know? My Nikon FM2 that I believe I paid $500 or $600 for sometime in the 90s, you can pick that sucker up for $100, $200 now, and it's an amazing camera, so it's really easy to play and have fun with it. And if you don't know how to print, you can send it to the lab and they'll print for you, or have it scanned and then you could tweak it again in Photoshop. So anyway, if you are going to do it old school, you need to divide the total exposure by the number of frames that you shoot, right? So that just makes sense. So, you know, and a really easy way to do this is just to play with the film speed. So let's just use an easy number, and let's say you're using ISO 100. So that's a normal exposure for one image if you're shooting ISO 100. If you're shooting two images, you need to divide the exposure. So again, just jack that ISO up to 200 and you're set. If you're shooting four images, just jack that ISO to 400, etc., etc. Basically, any way that you're going to divide the total exposure by the number of scenes you're going to shoot, that will work. Now, there's going to be some tweaking involved, right? Maybe frame A needs to be a little darker than frame B. That's where the play comes in. If you're going to do it with a digital camera, I'm doing it with my D700, and holy moly, it's way easier. They have something called auto gain, which just takes all the thinking out of it for you. So it does all the division for you. You don't have to adjust anything. All you have to do is tell it how many exposures that you want to do. I've been playing with two just for ease, again, for the podcast, just to show the image how easy it is. But, you know, shoot three, four, five, six, it becomes more complex. Just be aware of what you're doing and be aware that it's going to be more complex. But the auto gain feature that will work for you, just set it on. There's no thinking. If you want it to be really precise, again, if you wanted to give, scene A more exposure or less exposure than scene B, and you'll notice this when you start shooting, the person were a little darker or a little lighter against the tree, if that's what you're shooting. You know, that way you just turn the auto gain off, and that way you could tweak those exposures manually in your head. Just bring a pen and pencil with you if you're not math savvy, and it should not be that difficult. And of course, if you don't feel like buying a Nikon FM2 or any other of many, 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 many other old cameras that can do this, I just happen to be familiar with Nikon gear. You know, if you don't have that and you don't have a digital camera that can handle this, of course you could just do this yourself in Photoshop. It takes the serendipity out of it for me a little bit, but it's still way, way, way cool. So again, just have, you know, the same concepts in mind, but you don't have to worry about exposure at all. You could just take two individual scenes, scene A, scene B, again, a person on a tree, that's really an easy one for me. So you just take shot A of the person, you take shot B of the tree, and then you just bring them both into Photoshop using layers, and layer one on top of the other, and then you can vary the opacity of both layers, and you can also vary the blending mode of both layers. And if you don't know about opacity and blending modes, any basic Photoshop tutorial will help you with that. But basically, you're just layering one scene on top of another scene, and it's a cool effect. It really is. And really, just even using layers in Photoshop, it really may jack your creativity a little bit. You know, it may, you know, get you into an artsy feel, and it's really, really fun. So, you know, play with that and have a good time doing it. Again, the fewer images you use to start, the easier it will be to start. But, you know, once you get into it, take two, three, four, five, six scenes, you know, whatever you want. put your camera on a tripod and pan and take five shots during the panning, and you're going to get a really, really cool effect. It's fun. So have fun and play. In terms of two masters that used to do this old school, there's a guy named Jerry Yulsman, and we have some work of his on photography.ca, but I'm going to put some links in the show notes so you could check out his own site. And I'll be honest, I'm really talking about his old school technique now, which kind of mimics using layers in Photoshop. So what he did was he took, you know, different negatives, and he had like five or six enlargers lined up. So he would expose on one piece of photographic paper a scene from negative one. Then he would take that same piece of paper in his enlarger, doing all this in total darkness, save for a little bit of red light. Then he would bring that same piece of photographic paper to enlarger two, expose it for a predetermined amount of time, then to enlarger three, expose for a predetermined amount of time. Then he'd run that paper through a developing bath, then the stop bath, then the fixed bath, then he'd wash it. You know, it's amazing how much work it was back then. But his photos they're amazing. So please check out his work. That technique is going to be very similar to the technique using Photoshop. And then another Canadian landscape photographer that I really, really like, Freeman Patterson, he did a lot of this back in the day as well, in camera. So, you know, the way I kind of described it with the FM2, that's the way he used to do it. And he did loads of experimentation there. And I'm going to put some links to his work in the show notes as well. And just seeing the techniques that those two guys were able to reproduce should inspire you with your own techniques, either, you know, in Photoshop or using a digital camera or using an old school camera. And I suggest if you do try this, you will have a lot of fun. And I think that's going to do it for me today for this topic. It's getting humid here. It's getting hotter. I'm starting to sweat. So I'm going to put the recorder away and I'm going to enjoy my last couple of days here. As always, if I've missed something and some of you want to share some of your multiple exposure tips with me, always, always greatly appreciated. I'm getting reinvigorated by this. So, you know, if someone has a good technique that I can learn from, yahoo. You can comment in any of multiple ways on the blog, photography.ca/blog. That's the preferred way. You can, of course, make your way to the forums. Lots of lurkers and members are posting great work these days. And as always, you can email me directly, photography.ca@gmail.com. That's going to do it for me, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. It's so gorgeous here. I hope it's gorgeous where you are. But even if it's not, you can make great art using multiple exposure techniques. So get out there, have fun, and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Mahalo.